Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and today is the 18th anniversary of the Islamic terrorist attack on America. We will share, in a few minutes, we'll share some of what I reported on the air that day while the attack was still taking place, and the rest of what I'll share was posted on the internet on the next day, September 12th, 2001. And then that Saturday, if you recall, the flights were canceled nationwide. We ended up driving to Indiana, where I was presenting a seminar that had been previously scheduled on the end times. And if you've ever heard the recording, we still have it, of our end times seminar. 9/11 had just hit. And I went through the verses in Revelation where verse after verse after verse, it was so descriptive of what happened on 9/11. So astoundingly descriptive. And I got to the bottom of it and I said, are we seeing the fulfillment of end times prophecies before our very eyes? And the room was like on their, you know, pins and needles. And I said, no! And the guy in the front row almost jumped out of his chair. And many of the people there were shocked that I said no, that it's too superficial to take every headline, no matter how dramatic, and think that it's a fulfillment of end times prophecy. So we'll go through some of this. Also, Sarah Palin is in the news. Tragically, her husband of 31 years has filed for divorce. I know that a lot of conservative Christians were deceived into thinking she was pro-life, pro-personhood, for abolition, you know, wanted to end abortion. So we'll talk about that. Also, here in Colorado, there is the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, and they have a bi-monthly newsletter that's really fun, Foundations, it's called. The September-October issue is out, and we're getting wonderful feedback from an article. I had the honor, I was asked to write an article on the origin of Earth's radioactivity based on the work of Dr. Walt Brown. That's a 3-page article. That's out. If we could get that available on a PDF, we'll put that on our website. We'll see if that can happen. Also, our telethon, wow, thank you guys. You know how we say, you know, there's somebody out there who could give $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 even. The goal for our September telethon each year, we have this vital need to raise funds in order to stay on the air. And the goal is $40,000, and we are now at $19,000. So the month of September, 30 days has September. We're at September 11th, and we're almost halfway to the goal. So thank you so much, everyone who has given. We're not on 100 stations. We're not on a network. We're on one station, the most powerful Christian station in America. But it's one station, 50,000 watts, AM 670, KLTT, and then our podcast and iTunes and Siri, Open Bob and Yurt Live, and Spotify for Real Science Radio, and so on. So we're so very thankful for everyone who's helped. And if you're able to, please go to our website, kgov.com. Click on the store, and then you could subscribe to our monthly videos, Bible study, sermons, a monthly donation, or make a one-time donation, or check out some of our resources. All of it is added together toward reaching our telethon goal. Okay, quickly on Sarah Palin, ran for the vice presidency with John McCain. So she joined a leftist, a liberal, pro-abortion, tax and spend, politician. And, you know, we've said for all these years, Republican presidents always outspend the preceding Democratic administration. And so what's the deficit for 2019? It's coming in at over $1 trillion. Over $1 trillion for a single year. What a shame. Anyway, Sarah Palin was trying to help John McCain do that. And people, Christians, pro-lifers, thought she was against abortion. So we did the Sarah Palin pro-life profile, put it on the internet. It was a major factor in the campaign. We know from all the media, all the activity. Well, let me give you an example of when we say she was not pro-life. All right? In Alaska, the governor appoints the members to their state Supreme Court. So the Alaska Supreme Court, they choose out of candidates that are presented to them. So of the justices she had to select from, and she's an adult, she could have refused to appoint any of them to the Supreme Court, but she chose Morgan Christen. Now, Morgan Christen, who is she? Well, one of her roles, she was a board member for Planned Parenthood of Alaska. She's a Planned Parenthood board member. Sarah Palin appoints her to be for life an Alaska Supreme Court justice. And when she does that, this unrepentant child killer, Morgan Christen, Sarah Palin writes, quote, "I have every confidence that Judge Christen has the experience, intellect, wisdom, and character to be an outstanding Supreme Court justice." And this woman was a board member for Planned Parenthood. How's that? And do you think Focus on the Family lied to you during that campaign? They sure did. Do you think National Right to Life lied to you during that campaign? They sure did. Right? These people were, they were the pro-life heroes of the universe. And they always are, aren't they? Even when they're actually pro-abortion. And so there's a lot more that exposed who Sarah Palin actually was. It's at prolifeprofiles.com. While the last plane was still in the air of the four planes that were taken over by Islamic terrorists, with the 3,000 people killed that day, many killed afterward in the aftermath, including at Ground Zero, with the cancer and other ailments that resulted from all the noxious fumes that resulted from the towers being knocked down. That day on the air, we made observations about security issues, security, foreign relations, about Israel and terrorists and our country's relationship with terrorists, open terrorists. We made observations about our relations with Islamic nations, problems with our form of government, and cultural problems. And what I'd like to do is take this list a little bit backward today. Usually when we have on the 5th anniversary, 10th, 15th, we're doing this again on the 18th anniversary, we've started at the top and worked down. I'd like to start at the bottom with cultural problems. And here is what we posted. Here is what I shared at that End Time seminar. Here's part of what we shared on the very day of 9/11 as the Islamic terrorist attack was unfolding. Cultural problems. When you think about suicide, right? America, the left in America has an infatuation with suicide, decriminalizing suicide. Use suicide to solve your problems. When the suffering is too great, kill yourself. And young people see this. And of course, the suffering of a 15-year-old girl whose boyfriend just left her for her best friend. There is no greater suffering than that. And so teenagers see adults and the media and our leftist culture praising suicide as something that needs to be available and physician-assisted and legal and so on. And so teenagers end up including suicide in their toolbox of how to solve their problems. And when they think the suffering is too great, then they avail themselves of this liberal leftist solution. And so suicide. America should oppose all worldviews that promote suicide. Suicide is inherently destabilizing. When cultures openly promote suicide as an acceptable way to solve problems, they disable standard deterrence. For example, as the American media and our universities defend suicide, we have a growing epidemic of murder-suicide. At the time, I mentioned the Columbine massacre. Think of how many other massacres we can add to that, where family annihilators, mass murderers, think that they can escape punishment if only they kill themselves at the end of their attack. So believe it or not, murderers are poor problem solvers. And when the culture doesn't promote suicide, even murderers are less likely to think of suicide as part of their repertoire for pulling off their crime. Even murderers are less likely to think of suicide. So suicide is inherently destabilizing. And when we lie to those who are dim-witted, wicked, selfish, evil, murderer wannabes looking for a way out, how do I kill these people and not get caught? And they hear from the culture that suicide is a great idea. And then they think, oh, yeah, I can do that. I'll just commit the crime I want to do, kill myself. And what they end up doing, instead of escaping punishment, they deliver themselves directly into the hands of the judge of the whole world. Those who defend suicide promote the shedding of innocent blood, and we must oppose them. The kamikazes, not only from Japan, right, but September 11, 2001, was our own Pearl Harbor. Well, Pearl Harbor was our own Pearl Harbor, but I mean for our generation. Radical Islam and the Japanese Empire both taught men that suicide, in opposition to Judeo-Christian teaching, that suicide would lead to glory in the afterlife. In both attacks, the kamikaze pilots of World War II and the Islamic zealots of Pearl Harbor II, 9/11, normal men became capable of mass murder because of their eagerness to die in the attack. America should recognize every defender of suicide as an enemy of the state, as an enemy of security. Suicide is inherently destabilizing. So these comments are under the subheading of cultural problems. And another in that section was energy independence. And this was prescient in a way, even though when we were talking about building nuclear power plants, what has happened instead is horizontal drilling, right? An oil field, they go down 3,000 feet or 5,000 feet, and then they drill horizontally. And it's like opening up a myriad of additional oil wells for a fraction of the cost. And then there's also fracking and the shale energy boom that has resulted. So America has become the leading producer of energy in the world. And what we said at the time of 9/11 was that under energy independence, America needs a national commitment to fully explore Alaska in all available lands and oceans for oil and gas to move us toward energy independence. And we've been doing that in the last 2.5 years. And we should try to reduce the billions of dollars that we transfer annually to OPEC, right? Many of these OPEC nations this organization of petroleum exporting countries. Many of them are Muslim. So we should try to reduce the billions of dollars we were transferring annually to OPEC and to some Islamic regimes which aid terrorists. The quickest way to turn the Arab world strongly against terrorism is to threaten to move toward energy independence with an emergency national mobilization toward that goal. And so he also advocated building nuclear power plants. At any rate, here we are 18 years later, and we could see the extraordinary pressure we are able to bring to bear against Iran, for example, because we do not desperately need their oil. And in fact, the world doesn't desperately need their oil, because back when oil was cheap, the Arab world, OPEC, they were pumping oil like crazy. And when oil became really expensive, that's when America really opened up the spigots. Not bad, really. It's turned out rather well. So under the subhead of Islamic relations, this article is The Attack on America, a Christian Response. And under Islamic relations, we talked about fear and hatred and conspiracy. Fear. Countless millions of Muslim people around the world fear America, believing that our immoral culture is threatening their own families. Now think about that. The Harvey Weinsteins of the world and whatever filth that Hollywood, despising women, mistreating women off camera and of course on camera, and the smut that they produce, and Arab children, Muslim children who grow up and have access. Back then it was more satellite TV, but now the internet, a cell phone, have access to this filth, the kind of filth that minutes of it could destroy a child's mind. Minutes of it. It's like, how quickly can you become addicted to opioids? It's like that with pornography. So there are millions of Muslim people around the world that fear America because they believe that our immoral culture is threatening their own families. America's culture has been seducing the world. Arab families see their children attracted to Hollywood's smut videos, and they fear that we will thereby destroy their families just as we have destroyed our own. And that fear is valid. They hate America for exporting our immorality. An Arab teenage boy employed to do laundry at a Western hotel sneaks into empty hotel rooms to watch the most despicable entertainment out of Hollywood. After having broken our own homes, they watch as our exported immorality begins to destroy their families. So our government should oppose all sexual immorality, including pornography, fornication, adultery, no-fault divorce. We should defend sexual relations only within marriage, oppose abortion and euthanasia. We should do right and thus rob the Islamic world of those charges against us. Now, hatred. Islam's long-standing hatred of America should not be intensified needlessly. Hatred of America increased when Bill Clinton bombed Arabs the night of his televised Monica Lewinsky deposition. Remember that? Not only do I remember that, 100 million Muslims remember that. A media report at the time suggested that even a majority of American reporters, even though they're Democrats, they're liberals, they believed that Clinton bombed the Sudan as a mere diversion. Virtually all Muslims concurred that America's planes bombed them just to cover up a sex scandal. And as life imitated art, right, with the Hollywood film Wag the Dog, that played widely in the Arab world, and that was the plot. An American president starts a war to cover up his own sex scandal. Bill Clinton announced that bombing was the beginning of his war on terrorism. This is before 9/11. But then what? You know, some of us immediately doubted him, predicting that the bombing would not be followed up, but was a one-time distraction. And in fact, his war against terror started and ended that night. The bombing was the beginning of nothing. A journalist even talked publicly about the White House press corps as a group going to see the movie Wag the Dog, and then their uneasiness reporting on Clinton's bombing, which appeared even to them as a cover for his scandal. Yet neither Congress nor the media ever condemned Bill Clinton for his behavior, and the Arabs never received an apology. And then under Islamic relations, and this includes regarding mosques here in America, under conspiracy, some Islamic fundamentalists, including many imams, and especially right here in Denver, Colorado, have encouraged jihad, including the killing of infidels. That's us. America should prosecute such imams and others for conspiracy to murder. That's not outlawing Islam. That's if a Muslim, including Muslim leaders, if they are conspiring to kill non-Muslims or even Muslims of a different belief system like they do, the Sunnis versus the Shias, then they should be prosecuted for conspiracy to murder. Now, that's under the subheading of Islamic relations. And so, again, this was during the 9/11 attacks and posted to the internet in its entirety on September 12th. So we speak about the benefit of hindsight. One author said years ago, he said, if you want to know if what you've written is any good, take it, put it in a desk drawer, leave it there for 10 years, then take it back out, read it, see if it's any good, and then try to use it. So this is not 10 years, this is 18 years later. Are these things relevant? Under foreign relations, we have this. Israel. When we condemn Israel for punishing terrorists, which our government was good at doing, we unwittingly take the side of the terrorist and encourage them and terrorism generally. Respecting terrorists, treating terrorists as dignitaries. And remember, we've done that. Like with Yasser Arafat, for example. I'm glad that Trump just said he refused to meet with the Taliban after they just murdered a U.S. serviceman and, what, a dozen other innocent people? Was that in Kabul? So when we treat terrorists as dignitaries and terrorist regimes as valid governments, we invite more terrorism. When we conduct diplomacy with terrorists like Yasser Arafat, we unwittingly validate terrorist tactics. Young terrorists see in Yasser Arafat, he's dead now, he's in hell, he's with Muhammad. When they see in Arafat a justification of their strategy, of their use of terror, and the hope that terrorism will one day bring them or their compatriots to the bargaining table with world leaders. Right? When we think about our allies and enemies, America saw the widespread Palestinian celebration and the spontaneous dancing in the streets at the news of our tragedy. At the same time, we heard Israel declare a national day of mourning. This contrast provides strong evidence of who is our ally and who is our enemy. Regarding justice, America should fastidiously maintain justice in our foreign relations. For enemies have long memories. When we wrong a nation, we should confess and repent. When we punish a nation, we should do so swiftly and painfully and not drag out punishments for many years unnecessarily, because that increases bitterness. In foreign aid, we should stop all foreign aid. Welfare is wrong, whether to individuals, to corporations, or to nations. And foreign aid is welfare to countries. Individual Americans privately and freely send billions of dollars of charity a year to other countries. But the government should not send national welfare, because charity must be freely given, not coerced. Forced charity, including foreign aid, creates unnecessary animosity and it backfires. Wow, our telethon, we're up to $19,400. Thank you so much. Imagine that while we're on the air, somebody calls in. So we're up to 19,000. Oh, that was a few people combined. $19,400. We're almost at $20,000. We'll be halfway there, and it's 9/11. It's the 11th of September. What a sad time, right, as we remember the terrorist attack 18 years ago. My mother, Connie, she had a home in Hawthorne, New Jersey, and I was talking to her. She's standing on her back porch, and she saw the second plane slam into one of the World Trade Center towers. She saw it directly, not on TV. She could see it. Being up on High Mountain there in New Jersey, it's called. So it is a sad day, but I am so very thankful to those who've given. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, 800-836-9278. Our website, KGov, KGOV.com, you could click on the store and there subscribe. And any monthly service, Bible study, video, sermon, if you give, say, $75 a month, $25 a month, we take that monthly subscription or donation and we multiply it times 10 toward the telethon. So if somebody right now went on and did $60 a month, that'd be $600. We'd be at $20,000. Boy, wouldn't that be something? And then we come on and, wow, we'll be over $20,000 next show. So I will link from today's show summary right on the front page at KGov, KGOV.com, to this attack on America, a Christian response. And you could hear it. The broadcast was September 12, 2001. You could hear the whole thing from back then and see if it stands the test of time. May God bless you guys.